Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I am your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball on the NBA at FanRag Sports and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball on the NBA at FanRag Sports and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. 331-979-1369 is our text and voicemail line. You want to interact with the show, you want to answer a question, you want to hear yourself on the show as well, drop us a voicemail, any of your Bulls reaction, anything to Zach LaVine's restricted free agency or anything happening in free agency in general, drop us a line at 331-979-1369, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. All right, Matt, we are here for a happy 4th of July episode. Happy 4th of July to all of our listeners out there. Maybe you're getting a chance to listen to this early on if you're at a workout or if you're headed to whatever summer barbecue you're going to. Thanks for listening and tuning in on July 4th. We're here to do all of your mailbag questions, but want to start off with a little playoff realignment. So, Matt, first of all, how are you spending your 4th of July?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? I am up here in beautiful northern Michigan at my folks' place on Elk Lake. As we're recording this a day in advance, fast forward 24 hours from now, if you're listening to this on the 4th of July, I will be on a boat somewhere in the middle of a lake, eating some chips and guac, sipping on an ice cold beer. And, that is how you spend the 4th of July, with an option also on definitely grilling some meat, or who knows, we might bust out the meat smoker we got up here.
That sounds like a plan. I'll be hitting the links early on. So get a quick 18 in.
Ooh, look at you. Exercising, you're gonna get a sweat on.
Yeah,
the 4th?
I'm excited, man. I think 4th of July is a great day to play golf, so get a chance to do that, drink a couple beers on the course, and then see where the night takes me. So with that, let's get to mailbag. But before we do that, this didn't extend to our episode yesterday, but I wanted to make sure we covered it, because I think with all these free agency moves, with LeBron going to LA now, with DeMarcus Cousins staying in the West and going to Golden State, and just Paul George staying with OKC and Chris Paul staying with the Rockets, the West is severely stacked. And you look at the conference imbalance now, and we've talked about it before, and I think now it's even heavily pressed on the NBA and Adam Silver to figure out what they're going to do about this playoff situation and the parity of the NBA overall. So there's two options I think the NBA has at their hands. They can either go with a 1-16 seeding throughout the playoffs and the conference stay the same, or you go to a conference realignment and you start to find a way to realign some of these teams in certain regions and find a way to balance it back out. Which way do you like better, Matt? What sounds like a better, more plausible option for the NBA going forward?
Well, you and I had this chat as part of our episode that never was for Monday, so I know that you and I disagree on this one, and that's always fun. This show started out about you and I disagreeing on things with the Bulls and the NBA. To me, the simple, easy, obvious answer is you just realign the playoff seedings of 1-16. Best 16 records get in regardless of conference. You can keep the Eastern Conference and Western Conference as is, keep the divisions as is, so the Bulls still play the Pistons and the Pacers and the Cavs more than they play anybody else, etc. But when it comes time to figure out which 16 teams get to the playoffs, pick the 16 teams with the best records, regardless of conference, and put them in a bracket with one playing 16 and two playing 15. And you're going to get some really fun interconference kind of matchups right off the bat in round one. And you're going to guarantee that you, or I mean, as, unless a crazy upset happens, and in which case that's still fun, but you have a much better shot at seeing the two best teams in the league playing against each other in the finals. And isn't that what we all want?
I think you run into a couple problems. Not to say that I hate the 1 through 16 seed, Matt, but I think you run into a couple problems as the NBA as a whole. First, if you go to 1 through 16 seed, obviously you're talking about the top markets who historically are going to be probably in the mix every single year. They just have more money to spend than some of these smaller market teams. I think that's where you run into your biggest problem is, what happens to the smaller market teams who can't afford to pay some of these superstars and can't afford to...
What do you mean what happens? The same that's happening to them right now, which is that they struggle to keep their stars and they're not really a factor.
Well, wouldn't you agree, though, that there's better odds for a young team that might be in a weaker conference to find a playoff appearance or to continue to drive fans to at least go to games in smaller markets? I'm talking about places like Memphis or Charlotte or even Orlando. Some of these...
Milwaukee with their superstar that they have right now.
So to me, I think that's where you run into a big problem is all of a sudden, if you're getting the same, I don't know, top 15 teams getting in every year, just depending on where they slide in the seeding, I think it does a disservice to some of your smaller market teams and teams that feel like, okay, the West is heavily stacked, so now some of these teams in the East, especially smaller market teams that are trying to build with young cores, maybe they can get into the playoffs and maybe they can have a chance there.
But by that logic, you're only concerning yourself with the small market teams in the East. What about the small market teams in the West that get no chance at making the playoffs? Sure, some small market teams in the Eastern Conference get into the playoffs as a 5, 6, 7, or 8 seed, but who the hell wants to watch, you know, a Washington Wizards team that goes 42-40 play whichever Eastern Conference team is the one seed any given year? I don't. I'd much rather watch, like a couple years ago, when Russell Westbrook had an insane MVP season and OKC didn't make the playoffs because they weren't good enough in the West, but they would have been good enough in the East. Wouldn't you rather have had Westbrook as a part of those playoffs a couple of years ago? Because I know I sure as hell would have.
I agree with you there. And the other thing that I think bothers me about 1-16 seeding is the fact that the first round still isn't going to have a whole ton of parity. You talk about the number one team in the 16 overall seed. Like, I look at that and I find a way to pretty much tune that game out every single year going forward. I look at it in a small sample from the NCAA tournament. When's the last time a 16 seed's beaten a one? Just 1 year out of the tournament's entire history. So there's some problems there too for parity. And
It's not like you see eights beat ones a lot in the recent history of the NBA. It's happened a couple of times.
True. But talking about a stronger Western Conference, you know, the eight seed being a hell of a lot stronger than the eight seed in the East, I think you at least find a little bit more competitiveness in those games. And look, I don't hate the 1-16 idea. I just think conference realignment might be a route to save some of these smaller market teams and keep them competitive because, look, the NBA can survive off of their big market teams, but I think if you lose fans in some of those smaller market bases, that's not good for the league either. You don't want teams suffering and never making it to the playoffs. So to me, in that factor, I think there is some value too in Western and Eastern Conference rivalries and some of the awards that go into it. And I know they can figure things out or keep Eastern and Western Conference and just go to 1-16. But I think there's some value in having two conferences and not switching it up going 1-16. But that's just me. And maybe there's some other fans out there that feel that way as far as the way the playoffs go and feel like the regular season might not even matter that much as well. So I don't know. I don't hate the 1-16 idea. I just think they've got to find a better way. And there's no easy solution here. But there's flaws in 1-16 and there's flaws in conference realignment.
Yeah, there's going to be flaws whichever way you dice it. To me, the conference realignment thing is just dumb because you're only saying that you're dealing with trying to re-dole out the balance of power for right now. But who knows which teams are going to be the teams that have the best players and have the best overall rosters and are winning the most games 10 years from now. If you realign the conferences, that's just a temporary solution, where I think just seeding the best playoff teams regardless of conference is a long-term solution. To your point about the smaller market teams, though, it's interesting. In the way I see it, the small market teams have some of the most passionate fan bases. Like, Utah Jazz fans were nuts with that Utah team that made a run through the second round of the playoffs this past season. Small market teams have crazy fan bases. Whereas big market teams, Lakers fans, since Kobe became irrelevant and after Kobe's farewell tour season, Lakers fans check out. They don't care. All of a sudden, there's going to be a heck of a lot more Lakers fans, quote-unquote fans, jumping on the bandwagon now that they got LeBron, which, you know, side note, I am so excited to see the all of the Kobe stans that have been arguing that Kobe is still better and had a better career than LeBron now embrace LeBron in LA. It's going to be hilarious. But to me, the fan base thing is not important when it comes to the league and how healthy the league is and where the league is going. The NBA is the most upwardly trending professional league in this country and across the world right now. The NBA's popularity is soaring, and it's not going to be changed by small market teams losing out on some playoff games. It is a star-driven league. As long as there are stars, even after LeBron is gone, as long as there are stars, the NBA is going to be a league that makes money and sells tickets and sells merch that everybody wants to talk about and everybody wants to see. And that has nothing to do with who is playing in which conference and which small market teams are not making the playoffs.
Fair points, fair points. I think the only last argument I would bring up, Matt, is if we're looking at the standings last year, two games separate seven teams if we were throwing it 1 through 16. 1 through 7 is figured out, but your 8 through 14 seeds are all separated by two games. So I could see some frustration from some teams, too, who might be, like, let's say, for example, a team like the Thunder lose two more games than they were supposed to. They go from being a 7 or an 8 seed to a 14 seed or a 13 seed. Like, to me, I think you're going to run into some problems when you have the Western Conference stacking up the way it does. And maybe that draws more interest to the regular season. And maybe now I'm just talking myself into agreeing with you on 1 through 16 more so than conference realignment. But I could see some frustrations from just teams, and not necessarily from fans, but from teams who are separated by one or two games, and you drop a matter of 5, 6, 7 seeds going into the playoffs in the last 2 weeks of the season. So maybe it does create more stir for the regular season, especially at
and
the end.
I was going to say it would definitely create some drama for the tail end of the regular season. It's like, oh, crap, we got to get out of this current spot where we are. We got to win ourselves a few more games so we end up playing somewhere towards the middle seeds and not the one or the two seed. Be a lot of interesting drama if that kind of stuff was going on. I mean, we even got some of that just in the Western Conference alone this past regular season with all of those teams bunched up after Houston and Golden State.
So maybe I just talked myself into liking the idea of 1 through 16. And let's be honest here, that's been the most realistic talk among Adam Silver and people in the NBA. They've talked about it as recent as this week, like having a meeting and sitting down and bringing this up, this idea up. And I think the acceleration of what free agency has already been in the last couple of days and where players have decided to stay or go, I think only accelerates this conversation. And it might not start this year, but saying that in the next two, three years that there's going to be a shift in the way the playoffs are formatted, I think is a real possibility.
We need a little sound effect for like pen to paper. A check mark in the column of Matt being right and convincing Jordan that he's right. There's another one right there. Boom.
Oh, man. All right. At that point, I think we need to take a break here. So stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we're taking your voicemails. We're taking your text messages. We're taking your tweets. We're taking all of your questions regarding free agency, some of the frustrations maybe some fans have because the Bulls stand pat. Also, maybe some notes and some news about Zach LaVine's contract and how it compares to some others that went in free agency and so much more. So stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. All right, back here on Locked On Bulls, taking all your questions. Once again, if you want to interact with the show, hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, or at Bulls underscore Peck. You can hit us up on our line. Text messages and voicemails welcome. 331-979-1369 is the line to text and call. So if you want to drop a voicemail, we do this segment every single week. Wednesdays are usually the day we drop this. So we've had a ton of interaction, and it's been a lot of fun to hear both sides of Bulls fans' conversations. So if you want to hit us up, both ways to do that, if you're not on social media, if you're not on Twitter, if you don't want to text or drop us a voicemail, you can always hit us up on Facebook, too. Facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. All right, first question comes from 770. It says, hey, guys, this is Kenny from Atlanta. I'm a big fan of the show and just wanted to see how you guys felt about Aaron Gordon getting 4 years, $84 million. For some reason, I feel like Gordon's contract is a gauge for what LaVine really deserves this year. The two of them are in kind of similar situations, with both being slightly well-known for dunk contest wins and being on teams that can afford to but shouldn't pay them that much. I know there was a report this weekend who said LaVine shouldn't get much more than $13 to $14 million a year, but he goes out and gets an offer from Atlanta or Sacramento at $20 million. Is that too much for the Bulls to match? Better yet, do you guys think they should match it? So, Matt, I know we talked about this earlier on yesterday's episode, but let's dive into whether or not we both feel like the Bulls should take the opportunity, regardless of the money, whether they should commit to LaVine long-term.
Yeah, this is scary because it's just the fact that we don't know right now what we're going to get from Zach LaVine and what his ceiling is. We saw him be essentially a 20 points per game scorer in the first half of that his final season in Minnesota before tearing the ACL as the second or third option on that team, and he was putting up 20 per game. He's still only 23 years old. He's one of the most athletic guys in the league. He can jump out of the gym, and we saw, even after recovering from the ACL, that he did have those hops still. We saw some of those monster flying through the air dunks in his short 25-game stint with Chicago. But the concern is he actually fully recovered from the ACL, and can he continue to develop on his game? His defensive game is a nightmare right now, and it seems like he doesn't have the workhorse mentality to improve on the defensive end. A lot of times it looked like he just wasn't even trying on defense last season. Offensively, can he fit with Chris Dunn? Can he fit in Hoiberg's system? These are all major concerns that make you really nervous about that 20 mil per tag on a player that right now, I think Bulls fans all agree, is not worth that. He's not worth the 2017-18 season version of Zach LaVine, unquestionably, is not worth that. But we don't know. Maybe the 2020-2021 version of Zach LaVine is absolutely worth that, and we just don't know that yet. That's why this is a scary decision.
To me, I think the more I think about this, and maybe if you put yourself in the Bulls front office's shoes and you consider history, I think you consider the fact that the Bulls would never been able to draw big-time free agents scares me a lot, considering if you let Zach LaVine walk, you have all this cap space, and you swing and miss on free agents in the next 2 years, what are you doing? Like, that's a setback I don't think the Bulls can really afford to do as far as their front office goes. If they want to stay here long term, I think you have to take, they're going to take into account what the safe bet is and the play is as far as risk goes. And if you've got a guy here that's only 23 years old and has an upside and a potential to be an all-star, to be an elite shooter, to be a guy that can jump out of the gym for the next 7 to 10 years, I think the Bulls take the risk on it. We were talking about what the value of a contract being $18 to $20 million is in the league. And I look at other guys, and maybe this is because of 2016 where the cap spiked a ton and a ton of teams made terrible contract decisions. But you look at guys getting paid around the league $17 to $20 million a year, Evan Fournier being one at Zach LaVine's position. I would take Zach LaVine over a lot of guys getting paid in that range right now. So putting that into the factor, and the factor too about the free agents and whether or not you're really confident that the Bulls can draw big time free agents here, to me, I think even if you have to slightly overspend, and that's talking about their range being $14 to $16 million per year, even if you have to go to $18, $19, even $20 million, I think you got to do it. I think you just have to. I think you got to take the risk on the guy that you can have right now rather than putting all of your chips into the table and hoping that the development this season between Lowry and Chris Dunn and Wendell Carter Jr. and Bobby Portis and Chandler Hutchison works out, because you also have to throw that into the factor too. Free agents aren't coming here if they all have a terrible year and nobody improves. So keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there, Jordan. And I think if the Bulls do have to match an offer of 20 mil, they will. I don't think they'll let him walk. I think they'll match it. But as I said yesterday, I don't think that I'm driving myself crazy with worry about that yet, because I don't think that LaVine's going to get 20 mil per offer from anywhere else. So I'm still hoping that the Bulls have the upper hand in those negotiations. All right, going to our next question. This actually kind of touches on what you were just talking about with, well, what if the Bulls fail to land big free agents? This is from Tiago on Facebook. As Jordan said, you can also send us questions on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Asking about the recipe to attract a superstar player, he said, is the big market city still enough of an attraction to make a difference? Looking at Chicago, LA, New York, none of those main markets had superstars coming to their teams in free agency in the recent years. Well, we just saw LeBron go to the Lakers, so there's that. Besides Zach LaVine, is there any player on the roster that can help attract big free agents? And this is kind of one you were just touching on. Should the 2018-19 season results influence potentially signing two max-level players, two max-contract stars? So a few different questions there, all kind of in the same pocket of how the Bulls can sign and land a big-name free agent next offseason. Thanks, Tiago. Jordan, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I do think big markets still have a huge impact as far as money you can make outside of just being a part of one of these organizations. He touched on, you know, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston. Those are all huge markets. So for guys to think about that on top of what they're going to get paid by the team in general, I think that's a huge draw for a lot of players. On top of that, I think the 2018-2019 season is going to have an impact on what free agents look at Chicago and see what they're doing here. The East is weak now. And if there's some free agents that are looking at the East and saying, you know what, this young core looked really good the last 2 years. Lowry Markkanen looks like a potential all-star superstar. Chris Dunn looks like a solid starting point guard. And Wendell Carter Jr. looks like a guy that can play alongside Lowry Markkanen and be a very, very good player. You're a free agent, and you look at the Eastern Conference, you're saying, you know what, maybe we can make this work. Maybe we can be a top three team in the East. Or maybe we can contend alongside the 76ers and the Celtics. So to me, I think 2018-2019 is a huge year. It's a huge year for the development and the step forward that this Bulls team is going to make. Now in that, too, I think that you have to look at what free agents are going to talk to who. Who's going to talk to Butler? Who's going to talk to Rose? Who's going to talk to Taj Gibson, Noah, some of these other guys that have been here in Chicago before and paid big money? What are they going to say about this organization? And basically, who do you have to pitch that to? And I think we go and I point back to what we were talking about last summer, Matt. Zach LaVine is the guy that I said, if there's anybody on this roster that can pitch stars around the league to say, hey, you know what, come join me in Chicago. This is going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun, and I think we can do something special here. I think that's the one guy that has the connections and has the personality to be able to draw those guys. If we're talking about specifically Ball Speaks for All, then we're talking about Lowry Markkanen, and then his production and his development next year is massive.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. When it comes to the results of the Bulls 2018-19 season and its effect on landing one or maybe two big free agent names in 2019 summer, you want to see the Bulls' young core make some really impressive strides this season, you know, even though it would be in their best interest to wind up back in the lottery again. As far as luring free agents, you want to see growth. You want to see growth and development from that young core. And as you said, maybe LaVine has the most, the most cachet to go around and talk to other big name free agents in the league and convince them that Chicago's a place where they want to play, big market city, great fan base, and a promising young core in a suddenly even weaker Eastern Conference. That makes a lot of sense. But to me, as far as the results of 2018-19, if Markkanen can build on what he did as a rookie, which blew us all away and surprised us by how good he was as quickly as he was at his playing at his level, if he doubles up on that and turns into like a 20-10 guy in his second season and just, you know, looks like he's bulked up on that frame, takes another step on the defensive end, becomes a more dominant rebounder, and evolves his offensive game. He didn't have a whole lot of success posting up this past season. If he can add that to his ability to put the ball on the floor and shoot as a 7-footer, and all of a sudden looks like one of the most exciting young players in this league, that's the talent that can lure free agents. LaVine might be the personality, and we've all seen thus far Markkanen's a pretty shy individual when it comes to getting used to all this media attention. But if Markkanen has an insane, we're talking Derrick Rose going from rookie of the year to all-star year one to year two kind of jump. If Markkanen can have that kind of jump, yeah, he might draw some eyeballs from some free agents.
Matt, before we get to the next question, I just wanted to point this out too about Zach LaVine this summer in a positive. So the guys over at Pierce Sweat, funny thing is the show that Matt and I did before we joined Locked On Bulls, the Debatables, we're actually on the same podcast network as Pierce Sweat, and these guys are legit, and these guys are up-and-coming skills coaches for the NBA, and some of their players include Joel Embiid, Jabari Parker. Zach LaVine has been working out with them for a couple years now, so watching this happen and seeing some of the stars that they've been able to train and develop, I think is a good thing. Bobby Portis has been working with them as well, but names like Joel Embiid and Andrew Wiggins and Bradley Beal, Mo Bamba being one of their current ones, and then they're even working with guys that are coming into the league and playing in NCAA for a year and then coming into the league next year, and RJ Barrett being the top prospect. So I think that doesn't go underrated either. Like, who Zach LaVine's working out with, what he's doing with his game this offseason, and he's trying to prove to Bulls fans and to teams out there as well that, look, I'm putting in as much work and doing as much as possible to try to get back to what everybody thinks I'm going to be, even with the ACL injury. So those are all positive things to add up to. But for the guys that are wondering who Pierce Sweat is, go check them out on Twitter. They've got a ton of videos, Jason Tatum being one of their profiles this week and working out with him. Really cool videos. Bobby Portis' video is up there, and so is Zach LaVine. So I would definitely take a look at them if you don't know who they are from an outside casual basketball standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
So the next one comes from the 847. It's a question about Chris Dunn. If management doesn't believe that Chris Dunn is the future point guard, do you guys think they would entertain the possibility of acquiring Dennis Schroeder?
No. This is one of those short but sweet answers. No. No. I think Chris Dunn has more potential in this league than Dennis Schroeder does. I think Atlanta made a mistake when they thought that he could be the guy and let Jeff Teague go. I'm not all that impressed with Dennis Schroeder's game. I think Chris Dunn is a better overall player, certainly a better player on the defensive end. And no, I think that's ridiculous.
And look, not that it matters at all, but Dennis Schroeder said he doesn't want to play for a tanking team anymore. Not that that matters a whole lot. He's still getting paid.
Well, Atlanta is going to be tanking. So
the only way I would have said that they would have entertained this idea is if they were going to try to move up to number 3 in the draft, and that clearly didn't happen. So yeah, I don't see it either. I'd rather take the risk on Chris Dunn. I mean, I think, like you said, defensive strengths are there. I don't think that's there with Dennis Schroeder. He's more of an offensive-first guy. So I would rather take the risk with Chris Dunn and keep him instead of trying to find a deal just to move guys for the sake of moving guys. And I still don't believe full-heartedly that management doesn't believe in Chris Dunn. Like, that to me is just is overblown, and I don't think that's really what they consider Chris Dunn to be.
I think that they have more confidence in Chris Dunn than they have in Zach LaVine right now, if we're being honest.
I would probably agree. We're going to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls. When we come back, we're taking voicemails and more of your questions. Remember, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369 or up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds.
Welcome back into Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck and Jordan Malley hanging out with you on the 4th of July. doing our usual Wednesday mailbag. Let's go to the voicemails now. This one comes to us from the 847. This is a Bulls fan who seems to be a bit impatient about where this team is.
Hey, Matt. Jordan. How you guys doing? Love your podcast. Man, I just want to comment here about how boring this offseason for the Bulls has been. Every year we do the same thing. Either we sign a washed-up free agent, keep the fans coming, or we don't do anything at all. You guys keep saying, wait. How long are we going to wait? Why couldn't we go out there and make some noise, sign somebody, get some excitement, you know, get the team ready for 2020, 2019, whatever. But, dude, just standing there and watching everybody getting top free agents, and we're just standing there. We're not doing anything. It sucks. Come on, man. Do something. Or set a team, Jerry. I know you guys are at guard pack's pocket or something, because you guys keep sticking up for them, man. But anyways, know your podcast, and have a good one, fellas.
Well, thanks for the voicemail, and I think I can safely say this Bulls fan is not alone in feeling a little left out of the action, frustrated, saying, God, the Bulls are just sitting on the sidelines. Once again, in free agency, they're not getting in the mix. Look at all these deals that got done right off the bat at the, you know, in the first 24 hours of free agency. Well, if you were expecting them to do something different, you weren't paying close attention. And if you are saying, I knew this would happen because this is what the Bulls always do, there's some truth to that. But at the same time, this is part of the plan. I get being impatient and wanting the Bulls to go out and make some big splash free agency signing to boost this rebuild, you know, give this rebuild a turbo boost, Mario Kart style. I get that. But that was not how they saw this plan panning out. The plan was to be a lottery team, get another high lottery pick. They did that, more or less. They kind of failed at that, but they still added Wendell Carter Jr. They added another first-round pick at 22. And now the plan is to be one of the biggest players in free agency in 2019. Not 2018, 2019. That's the plan. They're probably going to use some of that cap space at some point this season, whether this summer or coming up to the deadline, to add another young asset in the form of a young player or a draft pick by trading off some pieces, some veterans, and you know, taking on a bad expiring deal that some team's trying to shed off their books. That is what Gar and Paxson have said has been the plan since day one of trading Jimmy Butler. So if you're just too impatient to know that right now in 2018, kind of sitting on the sidelines of this free agent class, which, let's be honest, is outside of LeBron and Paul George, and they're not getting them, is not as big of a deal with not as many big names as the 2019 free agent class. So I understand the impatience. This is an impatient fan base that wants championships because we were spoiled and we got used to winning lots of championships in the 90s, which now feels like forever ago, but in the grand scheme, wasn't all that long ago. And that's why we are such a demanding fan base.
Well, that's where I ask a question, Matt.
Yeah.
Is this guy, are you talking about trying to just get back in the playoffs? Like, this is where I need to understand what Bulls fans are trying to go for. Are we playing the long-term game? Because I'm sitting here playing the long-term game. I want the Bulls back in the finals. I don't want them back in the seventh or the eighth seed in the playoffs just to be bounced off that after the first round. If you signed a star this year, that's exactly what the Bulls would have been. And it would have completely thrown their trajectory off as far as building up and being able to sign maybe one or two free agents. So what are we talking about here? Like, being a 6-8 seed again, or maybe it's a 5-8 seed again for the next few years, and trying to do this whole grab assets at the late 20s again, like, that didn't work. So to me, it's a long form game. If you're trying to win championships, there's no reason to spend this year.
Yeah. And for someone who's going to say, well, I mean, even a couple years ago when they didn't just sit on the sidelines and they actually did sign some quote-unquote big names in free agency, they signed Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, and everybody laughed at them because those were dumb, stupid moves, but they did them just to try to stay relevant. Is that what you're saying you want? The Bulls to go out and overpay for some veterans to stay relevant and once again bounce out of the first round as a 7 or 8 seed? The Bulls front office decided that they were sick of doing that and made a proactive decision to start over and head in a new direction. And so right now, in the summer of 2018, not doing much in free agency is a part of that plan. So if you're saying that you don't agree with that plan, that's on you. And personally, I think you're a little misguided in your opinion. But just remind yourself, if you're frustrated that the Bulls are sitting on the sidelines this summer, that's part of the plan. You can say you don't believe in that plan, and Jordan and I have each expressed our skepticism and our doubts about the next phase of this plan. We were just talking about it earlier today, about landing one of those big-name free agents next summer. That is the test. That's the part where this front office is going to succeed or fail. In recent years, in recent attempts, they have failed. Maybe that'll be the last straw for this front office. We don't know. But going out and trying to sign a big name to a big contract this summer was not a part of their plan. So if you're frustrated and impatient, remind yourself that you should have seen this coming.
And look, Matt and I aren't staunch front office defenders. Like, to say that, then you might be a relatively new listener, which is fine. If you are that, you're allowed to crush them when they weren't grabbing free agents and they missed out in 2010. Great. When they didn't sign Carmelo in 2014 and you wanted them to do that, fine. You can crush them for that. But they projected that this cap was going to start to flatten 2 years, and they were right. And they left themselves open to try and swing on free agents in the next 2 years. I don't know if I'm somebody who's all that confident that they're going to still be able to land one of those guys. But you look at some of the deals that were available and them hand-tying themselves this year with any free agents. Look, the Bulls had $24 million to spend. They still have $24 million to spend. They have a $9 million cap hold on Zach LaVine right now. Look, they don't even know what they're doing with Zach LaVine at this point. So why would you entertain the idea of tying your money up with another free agent when if you do that, you might not even have enough money to bring back Zach LaVine? And we don't know if the Bulls are really high and want to retain him at a high cost. Like, that's still an unknown. So the Bulls not doing anything right now is a lot to do with wanting to bring back David Nwaba and Zach LaVine, and a whole ton to do with, too, that they're going to have a whole lot more money to spend in the next 2 years than they do in 2018. So if they miss next summer and they miss in 2020, then you can absolutely crush them. And we will be standing here recording and crushing them as well. But until then, I have to take everything from when they traded Jimmy Butler to now into a separate compartment than I did the history of Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose in that era. I'm trying to compartmentalize both of those. So if you can do that, then we look in front at 2019 and 2020, and if they miss on both of those years, then we absolutely crush them.
A quick one coming from the 708. With LeBron going to L.A. now, what do you think about the Bulls trading for Lonzo Ball? Bulls can trade Dunn, Ashik or Lopez, Holiday for Ball and Luol Deng. Lonzo would be an upgrade over Chris Dunn, in my opinion, and has a higher ceiling. Taking on Deng's contract sucks, but may be required to make this work. I don't want anything to do with Lonzo Ball. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know how I feel about Lonzo Ball and the entire Ball family. It is a circus, and I don't want anything to do with it.
You are a hater.
I also don't necessarily agree with you in saying that you're certain that Lonzo Ball has a higher ceiling than Chris Dunn. I still think Lonzo was a reach at 2 in that draft. I think the Bulls getting Markkanen at 7 got a much better player than the Lakers got with Lonzo Ball. So that's one. But the other thing that you do bring up here, which is worth talking about, is the Bulls maybe being the third team needed to facilitate a trade if the Lakers are going to go out there and try and get Kawhi Leonard. If they are going to make that happen, and they need another team to get involved to shed Deng's contract, the Bulls are one of a few teams in position to do that. And that I would not necessarily be opposed to if it means the Lakers are actually going to cough up a future first-round pick for the Bulls in that deal.
Look, this is just clowning. Like, to me, the only thing that could possibly make Lonzo on the market would be the fact that LeBron gets sick of him and gets sick of LeVar in the first 2 or 3 months of the season. I still think the Lakers feel like he's a core piece of that team going forward and what can help them bring a championship. So to me, I think they're going to sit back and wait on Kawhi and not have to move Lonzo. And even in that factor too, maybe none of those teams that are, or the San Antonio Spurs for this fact, don't even like Lonzo or don't even want him. So I don't know. I don't see the Lakers ever trading Lonzo unless LeBron is completely fed up with him in the first couple of months here. But even then, I don't even know if I want him.
No, don't.
So I think I would rather take Chris Dunn and just, I already know what I have in Chris Dunn. And look, I think it would be hilarious entertainment too. If LeVar and Lonzo came to town, that would be classic entertainment.
I would leave town. I wouldn't. I wouldn't leave town. I would just kick them out of town. Somehow, some way, I would get them out.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Hey, fellas, it's Armando from Chicago. Love your work, love your podcast. I'm just calling in regards to the Chicago Bulls cap situation in a couple of years. It looks like they've done an amazing job of saving some money for 2019-2020 prospects, free agents. What's the likelihood? What do you guys think? What's the gut feeling? Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, maybe a return of Jimmy Butler. Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, fellas.
All right, thanks for the voicemail. Armando, talking about 2019-2020, I hate to have this conversation already a year out, but I guess we can touch on it. We haven't touched on it too much as far as details of who's going to be available in 2019 or 2020. I think the names notable next year include Kevin Durant. I mean, the 1-1 contract, if he decides to go elsewhere with the Warriors are going to have a decision to make in 2019. Klay Thompson's also up for a contract. He's one of the top free agents. You have Kyrie Irving. You've got Jimmy Butler. Who intrigues you, Matt? If you had to add to this core, say, let's say, for instance, they bring Zach LaVine back, and next year we have money to spend on a max contract player or in 2 years. Who's at the top of your list?
Next year? I mean, it's hard not to say Klay Thompson. I would love to get Klay on the Bulls. Right now you're talking about, say, the Bulls do bring Zach LaVine back. Then you're talking about having Klay play the two and LaVine play the three. And I don't love that idea. I just really like Klay Thompson as a player. I think he's really good. I think the people who think he's overrated just because he's in Golden State playing with Steph and KD and all that, I think they're wrong. I think that Klay is a very good player in this league. Kyrie is an interesting idea. I don't know if he would want to come play here. And he also is kind of a head case. A little bit of a concern there. Definitely some injury history concerns with his recent seasons. And I would be scared to offer him a max for those reasons. But to me, and this is not 2019, but a little further down the road, with the Bulls and all of this money and this young core that they're working on, Anthony Davis is the name I keep coming back to, man. God, I want him in a Bulls jersey so bad.
I look at that move, and then you put Lauri Markkanen and Anthony Davis next to each other. That could be intriguing. I just have question marks about what you do. Not to say Wendell Carter Jr. is set in stone to be your center of the future. You can change things if Anthony Davis is in the conversation.
I mean, if Anthony Davis makes Wendell Carter Jr. obsolete or takes his minutes, I think I'd be okay with that if it meant Anthony Davis is a Chicago Bull.
Look, Kemba Walker's going to be on the market in 2019-2020. He could be a possible option, and you might not have to pay him a max contract when he's off the books. So that could be a good value there if you don't hit on Kyrie. Look, Kyrie has always been interesting to me, too. If he wants to leave the Celtics and find a way to be the number one guy on a team again, I think if the Bulls go into next season with what they already have right now, I would say even with the injury history of Kyrie, I love the guy's game, and I think he could bring the Bulls to a next level. And just imagining him playing in the pick and roll and the pick and pop with Lauri Markkanen and being able to spread everything out and shoot, finally getting a point guard that can actually shoot, I think would be amazing. And so that would be a guy on top of my list. Look, I like Klay Thompson a lot. I just have a big question if he could go to another team and do exactly what he's doing right now with the Warriors.
So you are one of those doubters I was talking about who think that Klay's only as good as he is because he's playing in Golden State.
I still think Klay Thompson is a great player. I just wonder if he's getting the absolute maximum production because of the guys around him. And so that makes me worry about paying him a max contract. He comes to Chicago, and while he might be fairly good, he's not the superstar he was in Golden State.
And look, I wasn't saying earlier that I think like Clay is more valuable than Kyrie in this league. I wouldn't say that. I think Kyrie, when healthy, is like an MVP candidate in this league. We've seen that, you know, for all that LeBron did, Kyrie was a huge part of the Cavs winning that title a couple years ago. I am concerned about the injury history. I am concerned about the weirdo character stuff and the fact that, you know, he's had a really interesting and strange couple of years now between forcing his way out of Cleveland and not really doing a lot of getting along with people in Boston. To me, the one stipulation, if the Bulls really wanted to go after Kyrie, is, all right, Kyrie, I love your ability as a scorer, a shooting, a guy who can shoot from the point, as you said, Jordan. One stipulation for me, got to take some science classes, buddy. I cannot have a flat earther on my Chicago Bulls roster. I refuse. I put too much weight and significance in the belief that science is fact. These aren't theories. Science is science. And the earth is round. It is not flat. I am not having a flat earther on my Bulls roster. Zero chance. If he comes to Chicago, he's got to take some science classes.
So look, I think it's still up in the air, and there's a lot of guys out there that could be making moves. If I'm looking at players, though, I'm looking at guys that could potentially be superstars that are right now in their prime and still under 30 years old. I think those are the players the guys are the Bulls are going to try and target. Look, I don't know if you're going to be able to steal guys like Giannis away from the Bucks in 2 years or any of these other top young names that are going to be the next faces of the NBA, but certainly putting yourself in a position as far as cap space goes, at least the Bulls will give themselves an opportunity to do that. We'll see if Zach LaVine can maybe draw some interest if he comes back to the Bulls or any of these other guys have their game speak for themselves, and we'll see. But I think if I had to name somebody right now, and I don't know if Kyrie's going to leave the Celtics or not, I doubt he will with the type of team they've put together. He would be at the top, one of the top of my list as far as free agents go in the next 2 years. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, we're going to do one more mailbag, and then we're getting out of here. This one comes to us from the 312. How would you guys feel about the Bulls playing their young core, trading or sitting out vets for next season? A lot of teams don't own their picks. Sacramento, Memphis, Dallas. The Suns look like they're going to try to make the playoffs, which I doubt they'll make, but trying to get a top five pick with the new lottery odds, maybe win the lottery. Doesn't seem like a lot of teams are going to be tanking or have reason to tank. Thanks for texting in. Jordan, this is something that you and I talked about a little bit in, I think, mailbag last week or at some point last week, the question of whether the Bulls would start that starting five right out of the gate with throwing Hutchinson in there at three, LaVine at two, Dunn at one, Markkanen at four, Wendell Carter Jr. at five. And we said, I think, at least for the early stages, you're still definitely going to see Robin Lopez as your starting center over Wendell Carter Jr. But the back end of this text is where it gets interesting, because this texter is right in that some of the other teams that you'd think would be in line to be tanking in 2018-19 are sending away their first-round picks in 2019's draft. That lessens their incentive to tank. And the Bulls, as you and I have been talking about, as the East's getting weaker, even still, maybe the Bulls are a lottery-bound team again next season. We know that Bobby Portis doesn't believe so. He thinks they're heading for the playoffs. I'm sure Denzel Valentine thinks that too. A lot of Bulls fans see this team as a team that's going to be good enough to be a 7 or 8 seed in the East next year, and they may be if things gel and gel quickly. But there is, in my opinion, and this texter as is highlighting, there's a chance the Bulls still find themselves in a good position in the 2019 lottery. I think it's in their best interest.
Look, I think we look at the Eastern Conference now. It's going to be tough for the Bulls to be one of the worst teams in the East. I think I look at that and look at how bad other teams are in comparison to what the Bulls were. And look, I got to take into account too, even with Nico Mirotic off the team, off that Bulls team, with Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen all healthy last year and Robin Lopez contributing, they weren't as bad as we all thought. And I think about a lot of the games that could have went the opposite way, and the Bulls winning, what, 27 games last season? Like, easily this Bulls team could probably hang around 38 to 40 wins next year. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility. So, look, if they're, we're talking about what's best for the Bulls next year, I absolutely think that they should only be playing veterans, especially early on in the season, first and third quarters, getting as much as many minutes into your young guys as you can possibly put out there without making it look like they're tanking. With that in mind, you put yourself in the best opportunity to land back in the lottery. And look, there's not as much as incentive to tank as there was in the other years. So if things become surprising, Lauri Markkanen is way better than he was in his rookie year, and he's starting to win games for you. Chris Dunn comes back healthy, and he's winning games for you. Zach LaVine returns onto this roster. I think that's another factor, too. If Zach LaVine doesn't come back, then it's imperative that you get into the top five next year. If Zach LaVine comes back next year, then maybe you're looking at a team that's going to sit between 7 and 10 next year. But I think the Bulls are going to look at the possibility and what tanking does for a team now going into these new rules and say, there isn't really that much incentive as there was before to get a top three pick. You're still going to have somewhat of a decent odds at number one for those teams ahead of you. So I think there's question marks, but what the Bulls need to do ultimately, I think, is just spend another year developing your young players, maximizing that opportunity. And even if they do end up with a pick between 7 and 10 next year, at least you're adding that, and then you have the money to spend in free agency.
And what you just said is the other part of the equation, developing the talent, because that's what we were just talking about earlier in today's episode, getting the free agent players to Chicago, the big stars to Chicago. Does it benefit the Bulls more, and is it in their best interest, as you were saying, to find themselves back in the lottery with maybe some of these other tanking teams not tanking as hard in 2018-19 because they're sending their picks elsewhere, and getting the Bulls another, you know, getting a top three or top five pick this time around? Let's also remember the 2019 NBA class looks to be a little bit weaker than the 2018 class as of right now, but there are certainly still some spicy, interesting names at the top of it. Or is it in the Bulls' best interest to look like a team that's about to be capable of winning and being contenders in the playoffs? If the Bulls in this core of Markkanen, LaVine, and Dunn all of a sudden see a significant win increase, will that actually be something that swings a heavy hammer when free agents are looking around in 2019? Those are the two sides of the coin. Those are the two sides of the debate as far as what is in their best interest. Tank and not worry about making yourself look good, like a good, promising young organization for free agents, because you think it's more important and more imperative right now to add another young draft pick to this core? Or screw the lottery, who cares where we end up? We want to make ourselves look as good as possible within as many games because we think it'll help us land a big name in 2019. I don't know how much the Bulls' young core looking significantly better this year than last year will have an impact on some of those bigger names that we were talking about. I still think it's in their best interest to find themselves in the lottery again next year as opposed to being a 7 or 8 seed. But that's something that we won't know until free agency starts in 2019's summer after whatever it is we see from this Bulls team in 2018-2019.
Matt, before we get out of here, do you think 40 wins gets you into the playoffs as an Eastern Conference team next year if they stay the same with 1 through 8 seeds on both sides?
I think it certainly can. I think we've seen a 40-win team be a playoff team in the East in recent history. Maybe, maybe not. It's going to be right around there somewhere probably.
I just worry that this Eastern Conference is going to be worse than we expect, and the Bulls are going to be better than I think we're going to expect, and that combination serves up a team that might end up 35 to 40 wins next year. So we'll see. We'll find out. The Eastern Conference is trash. That's the only thing I'm nervous about. So,
dude, what are you talking about? The Atlanta Hawks got Trae Young. They're going to win like 60 games.
Did you see all the air balls Trae Young shot up last night in Summer League?
I have not seen that, but I'm not surprised.
No, you'll have to take a look at that video, as well as if you didn't check out the fight and the brawl that happened in the FIBA qualifier.
Yeah, and I saw that you made a gif of Thon Maker karate kicking the crap out of people, suggesting that it were me when somebody makes a Jabari Parker suggestion.
Dude, they had 13 guys ejected. 13 guys.
That was ugly. That was ugly. That wasn't quite Malice at the Palace levels of insanity and chaos.
Oh, no, that was. I thought that was worse. They had camera people on top of fans getting the shit kicked out of them.
I mean, it was definitely ugly. We'll leave it at that. It was ugly. But I got to say, it was kind of funny seeing Thon run around karate kicking people.
Oh, man. That delay took 43 minutes, and they ended up forfeiting. They didn't even get through three quarters. And the Philippines ended up just falling out, and everybody on their team ended up falling out, and they forfeited the game. So that was certainly interesting. So if you're looking for basketball, check in on the FIBA qualifiers.
Compared to that, the Bulls Summer League team is going to look like all-stars. It's going to be great.
Hey, we'll always have Summer League 2016. Just banners. Remember that, Bulls fans.
Banners.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Bulls fans, I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, in the Dash Radio app, on the Nothing But That channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. You can follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. If you want to be part of the conversation, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Text messages and voicemails there, or hit us up on social media at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful 4th of July. We'll be back on Thursday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.